Well, I'm just a little bit sore today, and I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little bit sunburned, because yesterday, Nancy and the boys and I, we were out on the Blackwater for a canoe trip with the Canoe Association of Northern Ireland. There was about, 25 or so other folks out there in the Blackwater, and the trip ended up being a couple hours longer than we anticipated it being. And part of what made it go a little bit longer is I didn't realize that there was virtually no current on that stretch of the Blackwater where we were heading towards Loch Ness from the Argerie. And so we didn't have anything propelling us and helping us to get down the river. And on top of that, we had this big old canoe. We're a little bit more used to some lightweight kayaks. And while it was a beautiful day, that hot sun reflecting off the water just, kind of made things that much more difficult. So about halfway through the day, Team Ziders was really dragging, and we were at the back of the pack. Everybody was, I don't know how far, maybe not quite a mile, but they were down there pretty far ahead of us, and they had to keep waiting up for us and everything. So finally, Graham and I were in one canoe with Lucy, our dog, believe it or not. And she was well-behaved. And this other canoe came up alongside of us with two young men in, and they seemed to be really, quite adept at paddling. And they said, hey, would you mind if one of us hops in your boat and helps you paddle? And I paused, and I had to swallow my pride. And eventually I said, yes, that would be great. And so he got in up at the bow, and I was so glad that I said yes, because he was quite the powerful oarsman, and we really just kind of took off from there on out, and Graham didn't have to worry about paddling anymore. And then a little while later, Nancy and Harrison in the other canoe, they were dragging a little bit. So then another guy comes up alongside them and says, hey, would you mind if I come, board your boat and I can help paddle for you guys? And, they gladly accepted. And then they were good as well to go. And they ended up, because he was in a boat by himself, they ended up towing his boat then. So they were towing an empty boat. So then two women who were in threesomes in other canoes, two of them decided, hey, we'll paddle that empty canoe. So they hopped in the other empty canoe. So right there on the river, we had about four different people getting in and out of canoes to make things go a lot smoother. And we were so glad that they did, because it would have taken us a whole lot longer to get to the end, and we would have held up everybody else in that process. So that rearrangement of redistributing the strengths and getting people on board different boats really helped. Well, the Apostle Paul was somebody who was very familiar with boarding boats. In fact, in the book of Acts, we have a recording about Paul getting into a boat so that he could start spreading the word around the Mediterranean world. And there's a particular word that's used oftentimes in the New Testament to talk about boarding ships. And it's this word, analambano. Now, I don't often make you say Greek words, but I'm going to do it this morning. So say with me, analambano, analambano. That's good. You're speaking Greek. Look at that. Now, analambano always implies leaving somewhere or leaving something or leaving someone in order to go up, to take up, to board something new. And so you're going to have to leave something behind. Just kind of like Monica had to leave behind home in Brazil in order to come here. And now she's having to leave here to go back home. Well, in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, we have several examples of this happening. Rebecca had to leave her birth family and her home in order to get up on a camel and to travel to meet her new husband. Elijah had to leave behind his apprentice Elisha when he was taken up into heaven. And Ezekiel talks about at least seven times when he had to leave behind his earthly perception of things that was limited so that he could be taken up by the Holy Spirit to have a vision of God's perspective on the world. So each of those times, Rebecca Anna Lambanoed onto the camel in order to go to her journey. Elijah Anna Lambanoed up into heaven and left Elisha behind. And Ezekiel Anna Lambanoed by the Holy Spirit to have his prophetic visions that he wrote down in the book of Ezekiel. And it's the same word used in our assigned lectionary reading today in Acts. In verse 11, it reads, Jesus, who was taken up, who was on a lambanoed from you, disciples, into heaven. So Jesus had to leave behind his 30-some years of earthly ministry. He had to leave behind all of his apprentices in order to go back up into heaven, back to his heavenly Father. And one of the translations for this phrase says that he was received up into heaven. He was received up into heaven. Now, Jesus may have been taken from his disciples in a way from us as his modern-day disciples. But this leaving of Jesus that is promised, it's counterweighted by another promise, by the promise of the Holy Spirit, who in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon Jesus' apprentices. The Holy Spirit will come upon Jesus' disciples. Now, how will the Holy Spirit come upon his apprentices? How will the Holy Spirit come upon us? Well, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power is something that is received by Jesus' followers. It says, this Jesus who was received up from you into heaven. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive that power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was taken away from us, but the Holy Spirit will come upon us. Now, the funny thing about this word receive is that in verse 8, that is that it's the same root word of Anna Lambano in verse 11. So, we don't have the Anna part of Anna Lambano, because Anna, the prefix that we all just said, that means up, okay? The Lambano part is the take or the receive or the going part of that verb, okay? So, you said Anna Lambano before. That means going up in some sense or boarding up on the ship. So now just say Lambano, Lambano. Oh, come on. Better than that. Lambano. All right. So Lambano, without the Anna, has no sense of going up. It's just taking or receiving or going. Again, Rebecca. Remember how Rebecca got up on the camel to leave her family? What it led to was going to her new family in the chosen people of God. And it says that Isaac received. He lambanoed Rebecca, and she became his wife. Isaac could not have received her, lambanoed her, if she had first not been willing to get up on that camel and go to him. Elijah, remember, Elijah had to leave behind his apprentice Elisha. Well, after Elijah was on a lambanoed up into heaven, it says that Elisha received, Elisha lambanoed Elijah's cloak. And that cloak proved to be a mantle of authority that allowed Elisha to do greater miracles than even Elijah, his mentor, had done. And then remember, Ezekiel was taken up by the Spirit to receive prophetic visions. And that resulted in Ezekiel receiving, lambanoing God's heart in all the words that God spoke to him. So if Ezekiel had not been transported by the Holy Spirit to have that prophetic vision, he would not have heard and received God's words to share with God's people. Now, sometimes this lambano word has a negative connotation. We've just looked at some very positive connotations. But it's also got a negative side. So, for example, you'll remember that when Jacob was getting married, and he wanted to marry the pretty young girl, Rachel, but his father-in-law tricked him. His father-in-law took Leah, he lambanoed Leah and switched her for Rachel, so that at night, when Jacob wasn't able to tell who was who, he ended up getting Leah instead of Rachel, because Leah was lambanoed into that situation. His father-in-law did a switcheroo, as it were. Do you use that word here, switcheroo? No? Okay. You know what it means. Oftentimes, the prophets condemn Israel because Israel does a lambano. They take the best lambs, the best bulls, for their own flock, for their own dinner table, and they don't give them to the Lord at sacrifice time at the temple. And we're often tempted to give to others and to give God less than our best. But God doesn't do that. He gives us his best. He's given us Jesus. And Jesus is sort of a test. If we choose to receive and take Jesus for who he is, then we get to go to step two. If we receive Jesus, if we lambano Jesus, we get to go to the step of receiving, lambanoing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is promised to see us through to step three, which is going to be the day that we lambano, that we receive the full presence of God the Father when we return to him. Now, let me try to make this a bit more practical. Some of you hate your job, and you feel like the life you dreamt about years ago has been stolen away from you. So you're holding back something from God. Some of you had plans to have a blissful marriage and had high hopes for children, but you don't have now what you planned on back then. And you feel like something's been taken away from you. So you do not dare let people get too close to you, because your heart might just get crushed again. And some of us are struggling against afflictions of all sorts. And you may feel like you've been robbed because of those afflictions. And so you tend to hold on pretty tightly to what you do have. And you find it hard sometimes to let things go. Let me ask you this morning, will you consider letting Jesus come alongside of you and allow him to board, to on a lambano on your ship? Will you let him be your helmsman? Will you let the Holy Spirit straddle up alongside of you? And would you receive the Holy Spirit into your boat? Would you lambano the Holy Spirit? so that you have more power in your paddles than you've ever experienced before. All of us have been tempted at different points to think that God cannot be good, cannot be trusted, because otherwise, well, all these terrible things that have happened to me, they never would have happened if God was just a better God. But let me tell you that unlike Jacob's father-in-law, God does not pull switcheroos. He's not playing games with you. Now, the deceiver of our souls would like nothing better than to have us think that that's what God is up to, that God's abandoned us. But I'm here today to say that God has not abandoned any one of you. If you're seeking his face, he is already seeking yours. When my grandparents lost their youngest son, a couple years later, they ended up getting me to take care of. And when I lost my mom and my sister and my father, and they all left me, I was given my grandparents. And when my grandfather died, nobody filled that void. Now, I could have reverted to blaming God for all those losses, but right then and there, at age 14, I had to dig deep, because I soon realized this void, unlike other voids in my life that had been filled up by people, this void was not getting filled up by anybody, as hard as I looked for people to fill that void. And so I dug deep and decided to seek his face. And when I started doing that, what I realized is that God wanted me to treat him like my father figure. And that's when God became my father. And that's when my void was filled up. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something today. Some of you are spread out, especially up in the balcony. But I want you, we're just going to take a couple minutes here. I want you to pair up in twos or threes or fours as best as you can here amongst the pews. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. Go ahead, do that. Nobody is alone. Nobody is alone. Make sure, look around you. Make sure nobody's alone, okay? You're able to talk to one another, all right? Nobody alone? Everybody in the back got somebody? Yes? Yes? Everybody covered? All right. Now, look at one another. All right, can you do that? All right, can you stand it? And tell each other, Jesus is your helmsman. The Holy Spirit is your power paddler. The Holy Spirit is your power paddler. Now, I want you to pray for one another. Either let the people know what you need prayer for, or just allow yourself to receive prayer from them. Just take the next couple minutes and make sure that each person in your week group gets prayed for. Okay? Do that right now out loud. If you feel as though you have not yet lambanoed the Holy Spirit has not yet come upon you, then please, this morning, come up and receive prayer from the prayer ministry team this morning. Or if you feel like something has been robbed from you in your life yet, then come for prayer for that. Or if there's a void yet that has not been filled, then please come and drink from the well of God's love. All right? Amen.